Hello, Pastor Jeff here. Welcome once again to the podcast. And this week, we're going to be talking about Jesus as the one to receive all the glory. Let's go ahead and begin. Jesus, the one to receive all the glory, under the heading of the preeminence of Christ, keeping Jesus Christ center stage of our lives. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31 says, "He who glories or boasts, let him boast or glory in the Lord." And I believe that we were created in the beginning, created to boast in God or glory in God. And we have that drive built into us. It seems evident that we have a yearning to boast. But then, obviously, after the fall, it got twisted. You see this boasting in little kids, and they feel and are puffed up and so significant, and you can see it all the way from there to the adulthood. There is a way to boast properly. We should boast. I mean, we're made to boast. We're made to glory. But let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Nothing wrong with boasting if you have the right target object. For most of us, for me included, it takes many years to learn how to boast right. We start out boasting in ourselves, and in this day of social media and Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we love glorying in our own accomplishments. We start out that way, and then we kind of realize we should blend in a little humility, and if it's not at least an appearance of humility. But then as we mature, as we go on, as time goes on, we start to learn the heavenly way, the kingdom way. It's all about boasting in Jesus. And people all around us are looking for something to boast in. Someone, some issue, something to beat their drum about. Well, praise God, we have an outlet that is valid for all of that DNA that's internal to us, where we want to boast. We were created to exercise it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 31, let him who boasts, boasts in the Lord. And I think starting now, from time and into eternity, we could spend all of our energy bragging on Jesus, boasting in, making him known and famous. He's already famous, but glorying in the Lord Jesus. It is a way that keeps him central, to keep him preeminent, the central focus of our lives. So the study, again, continuation on the topic of the preeminence of Christ, but let's break it down with this angle. Jesus is the one to receive all the glory. 1 Corinthians 1:31, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Why don't we turn over to Matthew chapter 17? I'm in the New King James Version. Matthew chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Lord, is it good for us to be here?" You guys remember this. "If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, verse 5, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." I think this is a picture of, a reminder of, Jesus is preeminent above all others. Peter there wanted to make three tabernacles equal glory to Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, and it was a mistake. So God literally spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And he said, make Jesus the focus. In all things, Jesus has a preeminence and the glory. Now in John, let's go there. Let's go to the Gospel of John. If you would turn there with me in your Bible to John chapter 16. Why don't we go ahead and look at verse 14, John 16:14. He, speaking of the Holy Spirit, referring back to verse 13 in context, he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, he will glorify me, He will take what is mine and declare it to you. And that's what the Holy Spirit's ministry is. The Holy Spirit telling us about the things of Jesus, declaring them to us for our provision, for us to appropriate, to use. And we need that resource for the service and labor in the kingdom of God, our ministries. We need the provision that only the Holy Spirit can bring us, and He tells us it's in Jesus. I think, and this is where I wanted to go with this, is one of the signs that I look for when I'm raising up a leader in ministry, when I'm looking at my own life, when I'm looking at a young man or an older gal that wants to be in the ministry, that wants to partner, that wants to co-labor, I look for signs or marks of a spirit-filled Christian. Isn't that what we want to partner with? People that are filled with the Spirit. They're just Spirit-filled. They have a life that's evidently, obviously filled with the Spirit of God. And one thing, one sign, one mark I've noticed is they have a habit of boasting in Jesus Christ. They get excited about Jesus. And you know, not even about the Holy Spirit. They're boasting about Jesus because some Holy Spirit filled groups can always be talking about the Spirit of God, and it can get off center. Because when you read a verse like this, the Holy Spirit, he will glorify me and will take what is mine and declare it to you. When you read a verse like this, you kind of go, the Spirit of God, writing in the Word of God through the apostles and the prophets, didn't really reveal a lot about himself. God does want us to know about the Holy Spirit, of course, and there's a lot of teaching there. But the focus of the Holy Spirit's ministry, his purpose, is to magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to be known as a Spirit-filled Christian, overflowing with the Spirit of God type of a Christian, on fire, spiritual man, pastor. And I think one of the signs that the Lord would want to develop in me, in us, is to be characteristically boasting about the Lord Jesus Christ, how great he is, how wonderful he is, how beautiful, what he's done, what he's doing, his majestic character, his wonderful works, keeping him central. We want him to receive the glory, not some of it, but all the glory. Well, we're going to take a deep dive now into Hebrews. Let's turn in our Bibles now to Hebrews, and we'll begin with chapter 1. And let's spend some time there, because when you start talking about the glory of Jesus Christ, the preeminence of Christ, and Jesus is the one to receive glory, you got to go to Hebrews. Jesus is better in Hebrews. So Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll begin here, verses 1 and 2. It says this: God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So it was Jesus. He said this. He said, you want to see the Father? When you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Father talks like me. He thinks like me. We value the same things. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're not different. Different persons, but the same essence and being. And that's declared in John 14:10 and elsewhere, where this is where Jesus functioned, lived his life by the Father working through him. And it's the same way we're to live or function, live and breathe and have our being, is Jesus working through us. So Jesus was the expressed image of the person of the Father, upholding all things by the word of his power. Great, great words about the Lord. He should get the glory as we look at who he is and what he's done. Continuing in our Hebrews portion, go to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. This is interesting. Just this first phrase here. One testified in a certain place saying, I think that's, you know, when we talk about Bible talk or having Christianese, you know, this is the way the Bible does it. I'm okay with Christianese, by the way. I don't think there's a problem with that. I think we should have a heavenly language. And people said, you ain't from these parts around here, are you? They notice our accent because we have a heavenly accent, a different language. And that's okay. I think we need to be careful that it's not weird and obnoxious. But, you know, we're going to have kind of biblical talk. You know, someone said somewhere in the Bible, we could say it that way because that's what's said here. Listen, but one testified in a certain place. It's like quoting the Bible. I don't know where it's at. You know, it's nice to know where all the verses are at, where they're all quoted from. But if you don't know, share them anyway. You're not out of line because one testified in a certain place. It says here in Hebrews saying what is man that you should be mindful of him? Or the son of man that you should take care of him? You've made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the work of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. So God has given us dominion, mankind dominion, but we're not comprehensively walking in godly dominion the way God is designed. Yeah, it's him. He gets the glory. Everything's under his feet. We've been given a measure of dominion, but not like this. God's given us some, but look at verse 7 and 8. We put all things under subjection under his feet, and it's under him. He left nothing that's not put under him, and that's not us. Look at verse 9. It continues, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. And so we aren't totally doing what we're supposed to do as we were designed before the fall. We're not functioning on earth as we were really designed to function. But you know who does function that way? We see Jesus. And he's doing it by the grace of God. He did it right, and he's crowned with glory forevermore. This is all glory and honor to Jesus. Well, we're now in Hebrews chapter 3, if you want to go there. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. And again, I'm in the New King James Version. Hebrews 3, 1 begins, and it says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was also faithful in all his house. For this one, speaking of Jesus, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. Really great. There's the glory belonging to Jesus. And you might honor a work of God's hands. Notice that. But you honor the one who did the work even more. You honor God greater, the one that did the work. Look at verse 4. It says, for every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end. So a contrast, you know, we know Hebrews all about Jesus is better, but the contrast of Moses and Jesus, a lot of wonderful, glorious, beautiful things, great things you could say about Moses. God worked in his life. But when you come to Jesus, forget about it. All glory to Jesus, who was faithful over the house as Moses was faithful in the house God was building. Well, continuing down into Hebrews, continuing a little further, let's go to chapter 7 and verse 22 to 26. Again, New King James Version. I'm in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety, a guarantee of a better covenant. Speaking of the new covenant of grace as contrasted with the old covenant of the law. Verse 23, also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. I mean, Jesus gets the glory all the time and all things in all places. What a better place, no better place to go than to Hebrews to talk about this topic of the glory that belongs to Jesus. Now remember, he's preeminent, he's central, and he gets the glory. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10. Move there a few pages over. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. And every high priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. So the Old Testament, never taken away sin, verse 12, but this man, Jesus, our high priest, totally different than the Old Testament priest, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made a footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. What great, great words and reminder of how great, glorious, and to receive glory and honor is our Lord Jesus Christ. Much, much more glorious is he than the old covenant priests that were under the law. I mean, they ministered daily. They offered repeatedly same sacrifices, and they couldn't take away sin. They temporarily covered that sin, and it was just a reminder even of sin. But this man, this Jesus, he offered one sacrifice one time and forever all sin is atoned for. And then he sat down as if it were the true place of victory next to the Father. All glory goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where we keep him. We keep him central everywhere. And even when you're handing out, talking about glory and honor. Hebrews chapter 12 continues. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run the race. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. In running the race, the Christian life, consider him who endured this hostility, and otherwise we become weary and discouraged. You know, no one faced opposition like the Lord Jesus Christ. No one poured out his life in trial and suffering like our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Father brought him all the way to the end. So when my race gets tough, when your race gets tough, when this life gets hard, this ministry life, this this walk we're in. Consider him. That's what the Bible says. Just give attention and time to the Lord Jesus, and he'll be faithful to see us through the race, as the Father was to see Jesus through his mission here on earth. Hebrews 13 has more. Let's go there. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And so, kind of what's called a benedictory prayer, kind of a prayer pronouncing blessing on someone, that the God of peace who raised up the Lord Jesus Christ would make you complete, that he would make your life whole in every good work. I love this prayer. Involved in everything that he wants us laboring in to do his will, that he would be working in you and involved. That's the way God works. I want to talk about this for a moment. He works in us and then flows out from us. That's the Christian life, is God at work in people. It's not people working for God. It's God working in people. And that's a huge difference. It's a big difference. And this is revelation from heaven. This is not revealed through flesh and blood or study or intellectual apprehension. It's really heart appropriation. There is understanding that comes along, but it's spiritually discerned. And there's many, many that are not walking in this truth, whether they are purposely ignoring it or God hasn't revealed it to them. And let's not misunderstand. God, as he works in us, we labor. I mean, Paul said, I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I. But it was Christ in me that he said. It was the grace of God that was with him. It was God at work in him. And so without God working in us, if we're trying to do the work of God, it's striving in religiosity, or even worse, a carnal exercise. And so he says here in verse 21, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight. It's him working in us and then working out through us. And that's how God does it. How does God work in us what is well pleasing in his sight? It says right here, through Jesus Christ. Good works by God, and God does these works in our lives. It's through Jesus Christ. He works in us on the basis of who Jesus is and what Jesus has accomplished on the cross, his life, his work, and what he's done. And the Lord wants to work in and through our lives. And how do we walk in that? Well, when we trust in him, when we learn to trust in him, when we abide in him, when we follow him, when we look to him, when we get to know him, when there's a relationship. And it says, to whom be glory forever and ever. He wants to work in us, God does, by his Son. And as he works in our lives through Jesus Christ, who gets the glory? Jesus does, forever and ever. So, the centrality of Christ. It's easy for you, for me, to allow other things to take the center place. Bad things, good things. Things innately wrong, things potentially good. But the Lord wants to call us back to his word to keep Jesus the central focus, in our worship, preeminent in all things, the one receiving all the glory, all the time, every day. That's the will of the Lord. That's the mind of the Lord. Well, two more verses. We're going to look in Philippians. Now we're moving out of Hebrews, and let's go to Philippians chapter 2, and then we'll close with Philippians chapter 3. So just a couple more verses here. We're almost done. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. You know, when we lift the Son high, when we magnify the Son, it glorifies the Father. That's what it says. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and given him the name above every other name. And that name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And it's to the glory of God the Father, you know, when we confess Jesus. So Jesus, when he came, he humbled himself. He became of no reputation. He took on the form of a bondservant, looked just like you and me, you know, looked just like a human mankind. He was a man, even though he was God in the flesh. And the way to the wonderful blessing and fullness of the plan of the Lord is the path of humility. I mean, this is a great reminder. Jesus humbled himself, and we should too. Jesus was meek and lowly. He humbled himself. And God then highly exalted him. And someday, at the name of Jesus, and I wish it was sooner rather than later, because we've got a crazy, crazy world we're living in. This culture is moving rapidly to a post-modern, post-Christian, secularization of the culture. And Jesus is no longer welcome. And therefore, those of us who have bowed the knee are pushed aside. But someday, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, every knee. Some won't bow now. They just won't. Actually, they're antagonistic. But someday they will, because they'll have to. And it's a sad thing if they won't do it now. They won't enjoy the way they're going to do it then. I'll tell you that much. It'll be like the last thing that they do before they're cast into utter darkness. But everybody's going to have to bow and bend the knee eventually. So why not now? Bend the knee now, I'm saying to people. And enjoy it, actually. You know, having to be forced to bend the knee later and say, you're right. He is Lord, I'm wrong. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now's the time to do it, I tell people, because you can enjoy the full benefit of his salvation. So, great verses, Philippians, to keep Christ central, to give him glory, because someday everyone will declare Jesus receives and deserves all the honor and the glory. Finally, let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. And close with this one. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus. Or it could be translated, I've seen it, boast in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So we want to rejoice. We want to boast and shout from the rooftops our love for Jesus and how great he is, how wonderful he is. We ought to be known, the church, the people of God, the Jesus people, ought to be known as those who brag on the Lord. And we love to tell how great he is. So we want to worship God in spirit, it says, and in truth, I believe. So what happens when we don't worship God in spirit? By emotional hype is what happens. We just, you know, and I see it. I see people, it's an emotional thing, and it's a soulish exercise instead of spiritual. You want to worship God in spirit. We're the circumcision who worship God in spirit. God revealed by the Spirit. And then what do? When he's revealed, we respond by the Spirit to his worthiness. And then what's the result? A rejoicing, a boasting in Christ. I don't want to boast in my flesh how great I am, how great we are. Let's not do that. Let's keep him central. Let's boast in Jesus. He receives all the glory. He receives all the blessing. And may God bless you. We're going to close here now. See you in the next session. Bye-bye.